tried to get some of these other guys to play. They won't play nothing. So, y'all forgive me. Y'all get on them after church. Are you glad to be in camp meeting tonight? Oh, that was pretty weak. Are you glad to be in camp meeting tonight? There were some people come last night with us, rode to church van. They said, we've never been to camp meeting in our life before. Can you imagine that? I've grown up in camp meeting. Man, it's a privilege and an honor to know the Lord tonight. Let's get in here and worship Him. See what He has for us tonight. Give us a key of G.
Amen. I want my girls to come around and be getting ready to sing tonight. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I heard sometime many years ago, D.L. Moody was down in the dumps over something, and his wife came into his where he was sitting at, and she had put on her mourning apparel and had her black clothing on and had a veil over her face and a handkerchief in her hand, and she was weeping and crying. And he said, "Woman," said, "who died?" And she said, "Well, why didn't you hear?" Said, "God died." And he said, "Woman, you're foolish." Said, "God can't die." And she said, "Well, why are you acting like it then?" Amen. I thought we was at a holiness camp meeting around here tonight. Amen. Seems like some of you looking out there like God's died. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, He's still on the throne tonight. Amen. I said He's still on the throne tonight, still in control, still has all power, has all authority. And He's worthy of our worship. Isn't that right? He's worthy of our worship tonight. Amen. We're so glad to be in this service. We're looking for the Lord to do great and mighty things. So glad how the Lord came by the altar last night and blessed us with His presence. It is His visitation that preserves us and keeps us. Amen. And I've often thought in the 99 who were left in the sheepfold, as the good shepherd went out and searching for a lost sheep. Sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes it's the church's night to shout. And sometimes the Lord is going to reach out for a lost sheep. But I tell you what's wonderful is when the church creates an atmosphere of worship where the presence of the Lord will come down and He can do everything that He desires to do. Praise God. Amen. We know there are people here tonight that need help. There are people here that are lost that need to be saved. There's backsliders that need to be reclaimed. There are people need to be healed. People need to be filled with the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so we really ought to create an atmosphere for the Lord just to do everything that He needs to do. Amen. Why don't you stand on your feet tonight? Let's lift our hands unto the Lord. And let's invite the presence of God to fill this tabernacle tonight, Lord. We know that we can do nothing without you. We know, Lord, there is much that needs to be done in this service tonight. And it'll take the power of God to do it. It'll take the anointing of the Holy Ghost to destroy yokes. God, if anything's going to be accomplished, we've got to have the presence of God here tonight. We know you inhabit the praise of your people. So come down, Lord, as we worship you tonight. Oh, let the people of God rejoice in you right now. We'll thank you, we'll praise you, we'll love you. Worship with them as they sing here tonight. Amen. Let the Lord help us in this song.
Heaven's getting ready for an end of all celebration. To begin eternity with the righteous congregation. Well, this world's coming to an end, and it won't be long. The rejoicing's gonna start and go on and on and on. And I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel in bed, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Tambourines are ringing and David starts to feel the rhythm. Paul and Silas are humming a tune they wrote in prison. Well, old Gabriel hears the music and he picks up his horn. It's just another glory, hallelujah, born. Oh, I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Oh, I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. And I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel and band, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Tambourines are ringing and David starts to feel the rhythm. Paul and Silas are humming a tune they wrote in prison. Well, old Gabriel hears the music and he picks up his horn. It's just another glory, hallelujah, born. Oh, I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. Oh, I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel bear, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. It's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Oh, I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. Oh, I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel bed, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints. Heaven's getting ready for an end of all celebration. To begin eternity with the righteous congregation. Well, this world's coming to an end and it won't be long. The rejoicing's gonna start and go on and on and on. And I'll be singing with the saints at the morning light, ringing in the day, cause there is no night, saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. I'll be
Lord. Can you worship while they sing it again? Come on, worship the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Ringing in the day, because there is no night. Saying goodbye to the heartache, trouble, and pain. I'll be sitting at the throne with an angel in bed, shouting hallelujah to the great I am. If you think it's a dream, well, it ain't. I'll be singing with the saints.
Can you lift your hands and love the Lord tonight? Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Yeah, glory, hallelujah. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy. Ah, praise him tonight. Oh, we love you, Lord. Worship you tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Shake your neighbor's hand. Tell him I'll be glad when we get to heaven. Praise God. Amen, amen. Thank God, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. Praise God. Amen. We're going to a better place, isn't that right? Amen. Thank you again for everything that's been done for us. May the Lord richly bless you. I apologize for my voice. Maybe the Lord touched me here just a little bit when the Holy Ghost comes down. Amen. We believe in the Lord for that. We want the Lord to help us in this altar tonight. As you're turning with us tonight to Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. If you're here in this service tonight and you are lost, or if you are a backslider, or if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, you are the most important person in this house tonight. Amen. We're glad that you're here. We want the Lord to touch you. And those that are children of God here tonight, the Lord wants to help every one of us. Praise God. To bless and to work and to move in this service tonight. Amen. If you would read with us, if you'd like to stand tonight, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. Here tonight, verse number 2 said, be not soon shaken. Verse number 7 said, until he be taken out of the way. Before you're seated, please help me pray tonight. I want to preach on the world will be shaken, but the church will be taken. Praise God. Would you help me pray here tonight? Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, seeking your face again for this service tonight, for the presence of the Lord to fill this tabernacle, that every man, woman, and every child would be touched by the Holy Ghost in this service tonight. The word of the Lord would have preeminence in this service, and your spirit would come to us and meet us in this altar tonight. That the Holy Ghost manifest here, not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we pray for a demonstration of your power, of your spirit, that you would confirm your word tonight with signs following, Lord. Thank you for helping us last night. help us again tonight. We'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise and the glory. Let all of the church say amen. May the Lord bless you tonight as you are seated here. Titus, the word of God says in Titus, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Praise God. Amen. It's really sad to me, brother and sister, that we have allowed one of the greatest doctrines in the Word of God to become so controversial that we fail to preach on it, especially at camp meetings. Can you say amen? The coming of the Lord is one of the greatest themes of Scripture. Amen. But it has reached the point that it seems like it's almost taboo to even mention the coming of the Lord when we gather together in the house of God. Amen. Here, there's two specific reasons that Titus, in the Word of God, Paul gives us here in these Scriptures, that we should preach the preeminent return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Or I'm sorry, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And what that means is that Christ could come at any moment. Amen. First thing that Paul mentioned here is that the coming of the Lord is the blessed hope of the church. And when we fail to preach the imminent return of Jesus, then we begin to diminish the hope of the church. Amen. When we tell our people that the Lord is not coming for a certain period of time, that you have to look for certain signs and certain things to take place before the Lord comes, then that diminishes the real hope of the church. Our hope is not in the economy getting better. Our hope is not in a new administration taking over in D.C. Our hope is not in a better job or, amen, or other things happening in this life. Our really only hope is the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And we need to change our attitude as the people of God about His coming. Amen. It is the blessed hope of the church. Amen. It ought to be our prayer. Amen. As Brother Paul was leading us in the songs of Zion, singing about going to heaven, singing about the coming of the Lord. Amen. That we ought to pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Can you say amen? Because really that is our only hope tonight, is that Christ would come, take us to a better country. Can you say amen? The second thing here that is mentioned in Titus is, amen, that the coming of the Lord is one of the greatest incentives for living a holiness life. Amen. Praise God. Whenever he says to us here, amen, that you should deny ungodliness, deny worldly lust, amen, looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The other apostles agree with that. John said, "Every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." Peter echoes the same sentiment when Peter said, "Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Amen. The coming of the Lord, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, is one of the greatest reasons for a man, woman, a young person to live a dedicated, consecrated, and holiness life. Can you say amen? I remember as a young boy, amen, it was preached so strongly to me that the Lord could come at any time. Amen. As a young person, that kept me out of so much trouble. It kept me from doing so many things that was wrong, because I was always fearful of being caught unaware. That expectation that any moment the Lord could come. Amen. I remember as a child, my mother saying, "Son, what would you do if you're doing that and the Lord was to come?" And that put the fear of God in my heart. And it made me want to serve God. And it made me want to live right. Amen. I remember I backslid as a young teenage boy for a while. Got into, my dad was a sinner, so he allowed me to play football there there at the high school, and we had went across Mobile Bay to play a team in another county. And coming back home, sitting on the bus, we'd lost the game. And so our coach always said, "You sit in silence if we lose, and you think about losing and all of that." So in quietness, on our way back, I looked up into the sky, and that night the moon. You know how the clouds will give a reddish tint to the moon. I remember the preacher saying, "One day the moon is going to turn to blood." Amen. During the time of the coming of the Lord. Now I'll tell you, this backslid young boy on that school bus coming from a high school football game, I bowed my head. I said, "God, please don't come tonight. Lord, I'm not ready to go if you were to come tonight." Amen. The imminent return of Jesus Christ will cause people to serve God, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Amen. Be ready. Be watching. Be praying. Amen. And that's why we should preach the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't matter to me how you believe it or how you want to dissect it. Amen. Preach that he could come at any moment. Can you say amen? Amen. In this scripture, the word of God throughout the Old Testament, amen, the prophets agree all together that there is coming a divine shaking to this world. Amen. Paul tells us there in our text tonight, amen, that the world is going to be shaken. Amen. The world is going to have a divine judgment that comes from Almighty God. In Isaiah chapter 2, I'm going to read just a few scriptures. Amen. Toward that end tonight. Isaiah 2 and verse 10. "Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of man shall be bowed down. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the Lord, the day of the Lord of hosts, shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, he shall be brought low." There are people maybe sitting right here tonight that you don't feel like you need God tonight. You don't feel like you need to pray tonight. But there is coming a time, amen, well, the day of the Lord, you will bow down. Your lofty looks and your proud heart will bow down before the King of glory. Can you say amen? "Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon the oaks of Bashan, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Amen. "In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made one each for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats." Listen, my friend, the things that you say right now, "I can't live for God and I can't live holiness because I don't want to give these things up." There's coming a day the idols of gold, the idols of silver will be cast aside to the bats and to the moles. In other words, they'll lose their value. They won't have any more value whatsoever. The very things that you're holding on to that are hindering you from serving God one day will mean nothing to you when God begins to arise and to shake this earth. Can you say amen? "To go into the clefts of the rocks, into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth." Amen. Amen. That is the prophet Isaiah. Ezekiel chapter number 38, he echoes the same sentiment. "And it shall come to pass at the same time, when God shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Amen. A great shaking. Thus will I magnify myself, sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Haggai chapter number 2, verse number 21, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. Amen. And we all know the scriptures in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll not take time to read all of them, but we do see that there's going to be a shaking. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name saying, I'm Christ, shall deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass. Nation shall rise against nation. Amen. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and these are the beginning of sorrow. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall there ever be. Amen. The word of God is emphatic in teaching us that there's coming a day very soon that God himself is going to arise, and God is going to shake this earth. Amen. The nations that are involved in the prophecies of this end time shaking. And you'll see in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You'll see in the book of Revelation. Amen. These nations, chapter number 20 of the end time, Gog and Magog. Amen. Which is Russia. We see them being shaken right now as Russia is moving. Amen. Toward the Ukraine. Amen. We see Persia, Iran, and Iraq. And we see what's happening in those nations right now. Gomer, which is Germany, Lebanon, and Syria. And many believe the Antichrist will come out of the land of Syria. We see the old Roman Empire. Amen. We see, Israel being attacked, nearly on a daily basis. Amen. Through verbal and through paper, and even rockets being shot into the land of Israel. The very nations that are involved in this shaking that God is going to send in the end time are being shook at this very moment. Amen. Amen. If you're a praying individual, amen. If you're a Bible reading individual, you can feel the rumble, amen, that is beginning to go across this world, amen, as God is preparing to arise and shake this land. Can you say amen? Those in that early church understood those prophecies. That's why they were began to be shaken. And so Paul wrote to them. He said, I know you understand what's going to happen in the last days, and that we are in the last days. But Paul wrote to them, he said, don't be soon shaken in mind. Amen. Don't be soon shaken. Why is it, Paul, that you can write to the church and you can tell them that when God has said he's going to arise and he's going to shake this earth, how is it that you can tell them not to be upset and not to be troubled? Amen. Paul is telling the church the world is going to be shaken, but the church is going to be taken. Amen. Amen. There is a time when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come and redeem his church from a world that's going to be shook by the wrath of God. Can you say amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You see, the coming of the Lord was preached often in the early church. Brethren, you know perfectly about these things. Amen. How it is in this hour, brother and sister. Amen. That we failed to preach the coming of the Lord. We failed to study the coming of the Lord. We failed to look for the coming of the Lord. Amen. He said to them that look for him, shall he appear. Amen. I wonder, were you looking for the Lord to come today? Amen. He's going to come for those that are watching. He's going to come for those that are praying. He's going to come for those that are looking. Amen. And if you're not looking, you will be left behind. Amen. The early church, amen, it was their blessed hope. When they greeted one another, they greeted one another with Maranatha, brother. Amen. Our Lord cometh. Amen. Thank God it was the comfort and the hope of the church then. And it is still the comfort and the hope of the church tonight. Amen. There's something, some messages that we need to get back to really shouting about. And one of them is the coming of the Lord. Amen. When your dollars are not going to do you any good. When Obamacare won't let you go to the hospital and to the doctor. Amen. When your world is crushing around you and falling apart. The coming of the Lord will be the greatest hope that you have in your life. Amen. Amen. He goes on to tell them, amen, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Amen. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus, who died for us, that whether we wake or whether we sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. The church, amen, the world's going to be shaken, but God has not appointed us unto wrath, and the church will be taken. And that is a comfort to our heart. That is a comfort to our mind. Amen. That the Lord is coming. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. If I go, I will come again. Amen. Whenever the Mount of Ascension, when the disciples were standing there with broken hearts, and they watched their Savior ascend up into the heavens, the consolation that the angels of God, they didn't know what they were going to face the next day. They didn't know what trouble was going to come to them now that Jesus was ascending up into heaven. Amen. But the hope and the consolation that the angels gave to the church was this saying, Jesus, that you see ascending up into heaven shall so come in like manner. Amen. Hold on to the fact that Jesus is coming back. I said, hold on to the fact that Jesus is coming back, and let not your heart be troubled. Amen. You just keep believing that Jesus is coming. I said, keep believing that Jesus is coming. Amen. Praise God, he hath not appointed us unto wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Praise God. Oh, blessed be the Lord. What a hope. What a consolation. Amen. That Christ is coming. There is a wrath. There is a judgment that is going to be poured out upon the world. God is going to shake this place. Amen. But his church, amen, has been delivered from the wrath to come. Can you say amen? Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. If you got your Bibles open, that'd be all right. And look with me here. Amen. In our text tonight, I want you to see the distinction in verse number 1 and verse number 2 between the rapture of the church. If you don't like the word rapture, we'll say the catching away, being caught up, our gathering together. Amen. Just don't get, amen, sidetracked by rapture, all right? Praise God. Amen. If you want me to say the gathering together or our catching away, amen, that'd be all right with me. But there is a definite distinction that is given here. In verse number 1, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him. When we gather together unto Him, that is the catching away. That is the rapture of the church. Can you say amen? But in verse number 2, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or word or letters from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is the day of the Lord. Amen. That is a separate time period. That is a separate event. Amen. Than the rapture of the church. In verse 1, he is describing when the Lord comes back again and we gather ourselves unto Him. Amen. As I quoted in John 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm going to receive you unto myself. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, a chapter number. I want you to see the difference in these two events before I move on. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we see a time frame involved in the rapture of the church. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If you notice the time frame, it is in a moment. This event happens quicker and more quickly than you can blink your eye. Amen. It happens and it's over with. Amen. Amen. The time frame is so very, very short. Amen. And I want you to turn for 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You see something else about, amen, this first event. In verse number 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, notice this, will God bring with Him. Thank God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This event is going to take place in the air, it's going to take place in the clouds, it's going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. God, Christ. The saints of God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a child of God dies and we bury their body in the ground, their spirit, their soul and spirit goes in the presence of Jesus Christ. But when Christ comes at the rapture of the church, amen, that spirit will come back with Him and be reunited with a glorified body that has arisen from the corruptible, puts on incorruption. Amen. And there at that moment, we meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Can you say amen? But the day of the Lord is very different and distinct from that event in the scriptures. Amen. You see, the timing of it is different. You see, amen, where it's taking place is different. Amen. The day of Christ or the day of the Lord is often spoken of. Turn to Zechariah chapter number 14 tonight, and we see where Zechariah prophesies to us about the day of the Lord. Amen. Behold, in verse 1, that chapter 14, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. The residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. The valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Ye shall flee as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Notice this. And the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee. Amen. The rapture is when Jesus comes for the saints. The rapture is when he comes to redeem the children of God from the face of the earth. But the day of the Lord is when he comes back with the saints. Amen. Steps his foot on the Mount of Olives. The rapture, he stops in the clouds. And we arise to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when he comes back in the day of Christ, he sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. It cleaves in two. That forms the valley of Jehoshaphat. That is where the battle of Armageddon will take place. That's when the nations of the world will come. And the Lord will fight that day with the sword of his mouth. Amen. The saints have come with him. Amen. To the battle. Turn to the book of Jude here tonight. Amen. Jude. Amen. There's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Praise God. Just stay with me just a few moments. Amen. I hope it gets a little better than it is right now. Praise God. Amen. In Jude, amen, chapter 1, 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly of their ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed and their hard speeches and ungodly sinners which have spoken against him. Enoch, amen, prophesied that the Lord is coming back with thousands of his saints. In Revelation chapter 19, John saw the Lord coming back. Amen. In the day of the Lord, amen, he said in verse number 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called faithful and true. In his righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. How many of you know who that is? Amen. Who is that? Come on. Jesus, praise God. But the next verse said, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, amen, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations and rule them with the rod of iron. We are identified here who these armies in heaven are by their apparel. Amen. They're clothed with white garments, clean and white. Amen. The chapter before, it tells us that the white linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. We see Jesus coming back with the armies of heaven. Amen. As he comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon with the sword of his mouth, and the blood will rise up until the horse's bridle. Hey, friend, I believe what the Bible says is that at that time the church is going to be with the Lord, and we're coming back with him. Amen. My grandpa was an old fisherman, amen. Lived on the water all of his life, but he always wanted to be a cowboy, amen. He wore a Stetson cowboy hat, amen. I remember he didn't get saved until he was an older man. But he would wear that Stetson, take it off, and sit it beside his pew. Amen. When he was a young boy, always, amen, had some horses and rode them. when the preacher got to preaching about the coming of the Lord. And he preached on this text here in Revelation, where one day the saints of God are coming back, riding on the white stallions. Amen. Oh, my grandpa got a hold of that. Praise God. And he told my daddy, he said, when y'all bury me, I don't want anything on top of my grave except a white stallion. He said, because I plan on riding back with Jesus one day. Amen. On a white stallion. Amen. I know some of you, amen, may not agree with everything I'm saying, but the purpose of this message is to help us understand that Christ is coming. Amen. To get back to the hope of the coming of the Lord. Amen. To get back to living right every moment of our life so that we'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? So these are two events that's happening here in this text tonight that I want you to see. The rapture of the church and then the coming of the Lord. Amen. The day of the Lord, the day of Christ. Amen. At the end of the tribulation period, at the battle of Armageddon. Amen. And this is what I want you to get. Let no man deceive you by any means. And he gives us three things that must take place before the day of Christ. Amen. Don't be shaken about this, he said. Because there's some things, three things that's going to happen before the Lord comes back and sets his foot on the Mount of Olives. One of those things we're very familiar with, and that is that there shall be a great falling away. There's going to be a great apostasy. There's going to be people falling away from the truth. Some of them will get out of church. There's people sitting right here tonight. You have fallen away. Amen. If the Lord were to come right now, you know you would be left behind. Amen. If the Lord were to come tonight, or if you were to die on your way home, amen, you know you would go to hell because your heart is not right with God. Amen. There's people sitting right here. Amen. You don't even claim to be a Christian. But then there's some that are here that you claim to be a child of God, but yet you know you're not living right. You know there's willful open sin in your life, and you know down deep in your heart that you're only fooling yourself. You know right now you're under conviction. Right now you'd be afraid if the trumpet of God were to sound. Amen. Because you know today you didn't pray. You know today you didn't live right. You know today you looked at things you shouldn't look at. You listened to things you shouldn't listen to. You said things you shouldn't say. Amen. You know your heart's not right. And the only one you're fooling is yourself. Amen. So there is a great apostasy going on. We're aware of that. But then the second thing, that day shall not come except there come a falling away and the man of sin be revealed. Before the day of Christ, before the battle of Armageddon, amen, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. And we know that has not taken place yet. Amen. He may very well be alive and probably is, and probably is already in a prominent position somewhere in the world. Amen. Amen. I've no doubt about that. But he has not yet been revealed to take over the world. Amen. And then the third thing is here. Amen. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. There's some force here in this scripture that is restraining the power of the Antichrist from taking over the world. And Paul says that force has to be taken before the Antichrist can be revealed. Amen. In his time. There's only two possibilities that this can be. Amen. There's only two forces on the face of the earth that has enough power to hold back the kingdom of the Antichrist. Amen. The number one power is the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. The Holy Ghost has got the power to hold the Antichrist back. Amen. But I don't believe it's the Holy Ghost, because if he is taken out of the world, then that means he will leave the church by himself, by themselves. And when Christ gave us the Holy Ghost, he promised us that he would give us the Holy Ghost forever. Amen. He promised us, I said, He'd give us the Holy Ghost forever. Amen. Not only that, amen, but there are saints, whether you want to agree with it or not. In Daniel, there are saints. In Revelation, there are saints in the tribulation period. Amen. People can't get saved without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Who they are, where they come from, is not my message tonight. Amen. But they are there because the Antichrist makes war with them. And the Antichrist prevails over them. And you can't have, amen, you can't be a child of God unless you have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? So the only other force it could be is the church of the living God. But you say, preacher, the church is a bride. It is known as with feminine pronouns in the Word of God. Yes, the church is called the bride of Christ. But the church is also, amen, spoken of in masculine terms. Ephesians 4:13, until we come unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, unto a perfect man. Amen. Unto a perfect man. 1 Corinthians 12, amen, we are called the body of Christ. And Christ was a man. And so the church is masculine there. Amen. So yes, the church can be a he. But most importantly, amen, is we have many, many promises. Amen. That the church is going to be taken out of the world before the wrath of God is poured out. Amen. So the church can't be left here, amen, to face the wrath of God, because He's not appointed us under wrath, but under salvation. I said He appointed us under salvation. And thanks be to God, the world will be shaken, but the church will be taken, praise God. So he that now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And when the church is taken out of this world, amen, then the Antichrist will be revealed. Amen. And the tribulation period will begin. The two great examples of parables that the Lord gave unto us. He said, first of all, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Many, many parallels there. Amen. But what I want you to notice is that during Noah's time, the earth was shaken by the judgment of God. The earth was shaken with a massive flood that came in and destroyed every living thing upon the face of the earth. But while the earth was being shaken, the church that was there at that time was taken up in the ark, amen, above the flood waters, and did not face the judgment of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus went on to say, as it were in the days of Lot, so shall it also be when the Son of Man comes. And there God shook those five cities of the plain, amen, with fire and brimstone that rained from God out of heaven, amen. But that was a church, Lot and his two daughters, while the earth was being shaken, they were being taken, amen, out of the judgment of God. And this is what the angel of the Lord said unto Lot: haste thee and escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou become thither. I can't do anything until, church, you're out of the way. Amen. The judgment of God cannot fall until the church is out of the way. I'm sorry, friend, if you don't believe it that way, you ought to. Amen. Because Jesus is going to take His church. I said Jesus is going to take His church out of this world. While the world is being shaken, the church is going to be taken. Amen. Amen. What hope is it to face the beast? Amen. What hope is it to face the judgments of God being poured out? What consolation is there? Amen. How can the rapture be a blessed hope if we're going to go through 7 years of tribulation, 7 years of facing the judgments of God? Where is the hope in that? Where is the consolation? But the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord is that Jesus will come and take His church out of this world. Amen. Praise God. Jesus in St. Luke's gospel. Amen. I know I feel a lot of people. Amen. Will you just get here and help me a little bit? There's lost people need to be saved tonight. Set your doctrine aside for a moment. Amen. And let's reach the lost in this service. Luke chapter number 21. Amen. This is the word of Jesus. After he had told us a parallel scripture with Matthew 24. Amen. And take heed to yourselves. Listen, at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I said, Jesus is coming, and we're going to meet him in the air, and we're going to make our escape, amen, out of this world before the judgments of God fall. Two's going to be in a bed, and one's going to be taken, and one's going to be left behind. I wonder, lost husband, what are you going to do when you reach over there and feel for your darling wife and she He's not there because the Lord has come. And you realize, God, I'm a backslider. God, I knew to live right. Amen. And you're left behind. Amen. Two's going to be working. One's going to be taken. One's going to be left behind. What are you going to do when that co-worker of yours, amen, that's living for God, amen, is taken in the rapture of the church and you're left behind? You know what that tells me? Somewhere when the Lord comes, it's going to be in the middle of the night. Somewhere in this world, amen, people are going to be sleeping when the Lord comes. Amen. At a moment you think not, the Lord is going to come. Well, preacher, I've always intended to get things right before the Lord comes. I've always made up my mind I'm going to quit playing around with God. I'm going to sell out to God and do everything God wants me to do before he comes back. I'm just waiting on some things to get a little worse. Amen. He said, amen, you're going to be in the bed somewhere in this world. One of you taken, one of you left. Somewhere it's going to be in the middle of the day. You're going to be caught up in your task of working. Amen. You're going to be caught up. Your mind's going to be occupied. Amen. You're not going to be thinking about the coming of the Lord. Amen. You better had prayed that morning. You better had searched your life that day. You better been walking upright before God, because it's going to come in a moment you're not looking for him. In an hour when you think not, the Son of Man's coming. Does that trouble you? Does that stir you? Does that make you want to pray? Or does it bother you at all to think that Jesus could come even before you get a chance to come to this altar? I said Jesus could come before you get an opportunity to pray tonight. Amen. The Lord is coming. Can you not see what's happening in this nation? Can you not see what's going on in this world and know that the Lord is coming? Before Mr. Obama was elected president, my wife is here. She will verify this. I preached to my church that the greatest threat to the United States of America was Islam. As I was down praying one day, the Lord dealt with me, and I preached that to my home church. And that year I preached it at two different camp meetings. Amen. That Islam is the greatest threat to the United States of America. That they're going to try to bring Sharia law into our land. Amen. Now we're just a few years past that point. I heard on the radio today where Miss Michelle Obama went to a Muslim school in England. And one of the most areas of England that has the most terrorist, five suicide bombers come out of that community. And she went to a Muslim school for girls, that every child there is Islamic. She identified herself along with those children. They played clips of Miss Obama talking to those children and honoring Islam and honoring the life. I'm talking about a community, amen, that hates America, that have sent suicide bombers out. And our president, amen, to this very day, amen, he will protect radical Islamists. I said he will protect those who stand for Allah, amen, and he'll lock Christians up in jail. Come on now. Amen. We're living in an hour where America, amen, has turned away from Jesus Christ and has turned unto a false god. Hey friend, open your eyes and see what's going on in the world. Amen. That this thing is about to be shook. Your life life is about to be shook. You're not going to live in a fantasy world forever. You're not going to have your little house and everything going just like you want it to forever, because this world is going to be shook. Amen. It'll never happen here, preacher. It happened in Texas just a few weeks ago when two radical Islamists attempted to attack American citizens on our own soil. We've already had beheadings right here in America that are covered up. Amen? That have already been covered up in this country. There are over 6 million professing Muslims in America now. What kind of destruction if you just get 1 million of them strapping on suicide bombs and walking into our malls? Amen. It's coming to this country. It's coming to this land. Amen. I mean, Alabama, we're the deep south. Amen. We're in the Bible Belt. Amen. Our state overturned gay marriage 83% in a vote a couple of years ago. But one federal judge overturned our state law for gay marriage. And the Supreme Court is about to rule in a few days. And do not be surprised if they uphold homosexual marriage. And if they don't do it this time, it won't be long before they do. Because the tide of liberalism in America has turned. Amen. The tide has turned, friend. Our only hope is the coming of the Lord. I pray for revival every day, but our hope is the coming of the Lord. Some time ago when I was very young, I was praying and I felt like the Lord dealt with me of Luke 18, that little widow woman who banged on the door of the unjust judge. And that was a picture of the church in the end time. Avenge me of my adversary, crying unto the judge to avenge her. And the scripture said, the Lord said, the judge came to the door because of her continual knocking. And then he said, shall not God avenge his elect, which cry unto him day and night? He shall avenge them speedily, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? When Christ comes, there is a picture of the church praying for him to come. Praying for him to come. If you're here tonight, you're not ready to meet God. You're headed for trouble. Amen. You're headed for trouble in this life, and you're headed for trouble, amen, in the life to come. Revelation chapter number 22. Amen. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Amen. Oh, in verse number 12, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever let him drink of the water of life freely. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Surely I come quickly. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I want you to bow your heads right now. As my girls come back to get ready to sing, Father, in the name of Jesus, right here in this congregation tonight, Lord, there are men, women, young people that at this very moment, they are not ready for the coming of the Lord. There are men and women and children here tonight, Lord, that if you were to come, or if they were to die this night, they would not be ready for the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is our hope. Lord, you gave it to us to hold on to. It is our consolation. And you're going to redeem us from this wicked world. But there's many right here tonight, Lord, that are so caught up in life, in living, in money, in jobs, in prosperity. So caught up, Lord, in their own little world that they very seldom think of the coming of the Lord. Help us right now, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost fall in this altar. Let conviction come tonight, Lord. Let conviction settle down, Lord.
But I got a church that'll help me pray for conviction right now. Would you like somebody to be saved in this altar service tonight? Somebody to be ready for the coming of the Lord. As Brother Paul Marquis sang, I'm going to take a trip in the good old gospel ship. You sang it, but there was nothing that resonated in your heart. There was nothing inside your heart that said, oh yes, even so, come Lord Jesus. It was just another song to you, but one day it's going to be a reality. As your heads are bowed right now, there's a good number of you in this service that if the Lord came right now, you would not be ready. I've felt to preach this message for weeks now. Have somebody realized you're running out of time to get ready for the coming of the Lord? You're running out of time to get ready for the coming of the Lord. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What good will those trinkets and toys do you when Christ comes? What good is your television going to do you when Christ comes? What good is it going to do you to be able to go rent a few movies or to be on social networking and Facebook and to be able to go to a party here and there? What good will that do you when the Lord comes and you're left behind? What good will your ungodly apparel do you when you're left behind? Now, preacher, I don't want to give it up. I don't want to turn loose of it. I don't want to sell out to God. Eternity is nearer than when you first believed. Eternity is close tonight. The Lord's a calling unto you to get your heart ready, get your soul ready. As you're standing across this building, I need a church that's praying right now. Church, would you help me pray? I feel like I'm losing somebody right now. I feel like I'm losing somebody's heart and mind right now. And God has been dealing with them through this message, but it's slipping away right now. Would you help me pray for conviction to grip their heart? Backslider, hell's going to be a lot harder for you. Heaven's rewards. Heaven's rewards. The more you live for God, the more you work, the more God will reward you. There will be a just reward in heaven, and there will be a just reward in hell. God said in this scripture tonight, those who did not love the truth will believe a lie and be damned. You didn't want holiness. You didn't want what was right. God will send you strong delusion. You believe a lie and be damned. We've got one young lady up here that's a praying. Is there anybody else want to pray right now? Preacher, I need to touch God. I need to talk to God about my soul and being ready for the coming of the Lord. Come on. These altars are open. These altars are open right now. If the Lord were to come right now, would you be ready? What about you, backslider? What about you, backslid preacher? Preacher's wife? Young person? Are those worldly friends really worth missing the coming of the Lord for? The things that you're involved in, is it really worth missing the coming of the Lord for? Come on, these altars. And we're not having a general altar call yet. I want somebody to come right now that you need the Lord in your life. Thank God for these young people that's coming. Here's the danger, friend. Every time you come to church, I want you to look at me, everybody across this building, look across. Every time you come to church and you reject Jesus Christ and you reject conviction, the next time you come, it's going to be a little easier, and a little easier, and a little easier. Until your conscience will become seared, defiled. And after a while, you may just become a reprobate. Come. While they're playing, the Lord is trying to reach out to you right now. Every time you come and push away conviction, your heart is going to get a little harder, a little harder, and a little harder. Anybody else want to come before we open these altars up for everybody? What about you young girls? You ready for the coming of the Lord right now? What about you back there in the back? You ready for the coming of the Lord? Amen. Come on, there's some coming. We're waiting. We're giving you time to make a choice. We're giving you time to make up your mind. Come on. Come on. Come on, right now the Lord's are pulling on you. Thank God for young people that will be tender to the Lord. Come on, while the Holy Ghost is drawing. Anybody else want to come? Anybody else want to pray over the coming of the Lord? I want to know, God, that my heart is right. How about we get some folks to come help us pray for these that are praying. Come, let's make an altar while they're singing tonight. Let's make us an altar to pray. Move toward God, friend. Move toward God tonight. Move toward God. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let not one soul leave here tonight, God, without being touched, I pray. God, every man, every woman, every child, I pray for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to grip our souls tonight, Lord. And the coming of the Lord will be our hope and our consolation, the joy of our life. Oh, God, break through the hardness right now. Break through the hardness in the name of Jesus. Your church once again proclaim the message that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let us proclaim the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Lord, let it be our joy. Let it be the comfort. Let us comfort one another with the words that Jesus is coming. Oh, no, my brother, the Lord is coming to take us to a better place. Oh, no, dear sister, the Lord is coming to take us home. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again. Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, lift up your head, church.
Lift up your head, child of God. The Lord is a coming. Jesus is coming for his people. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us look for your coming. Let us watch for your coming. Let us be sober. Let us be children of light, not the children of the darkness. God, let us not put it off to another time. Let us not wait for some event to take place. But God, let us be ready for the coming of the Lord right now. God, I'm not getting ready to face the beast. God, I'm getting ready for the coming of the Lord. I'm getting ready, Lord, to meet you in the air. Thank God, I'm listening for the trumpet of God to sound. Oh, thank God, even so, come, Lord.